Hey, Tony. Tony, how are you doing? Todd McFan of Green Bay. Yeah, thank you for making the time this morning to do this.
Oh, yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, so now you are, I take it you're based out in Maryland, right? Is that where home is for you right now?
Sorry, say again?
Yeah, you're out in Maryland. Is that correct? Am I...
Well, actually, I'm based at the Washington Navy Yard, which is in Washington, D.C., and but I live in Virginia.
Okay. And again, you're correct. I just want to make sure you get your rank and such as Chief Petty Officer would be the correct title for you then, Tony?
It's actually probably more accurate to say Chief Musician.
Ah, okay.
They went through a shift for a few months where we were Chief Petty Officers generically, and now we're back to Chief Musician again.
Okay. And is that a full-time duty then that you have doing that with the Navy?
Yes, sir. It's a full-time duty as a musician at the United States Navy Band in Washington, D.C.
Oh, fun. Okay, so obviously you guys are doing things year-round and such with your performances, and you do other things too, right, besides the Navy Band itself. I mean, you're, the brass quartet and some other things you do with the Navy, with the music.
Yes, sir. I mean, the brass quartet is one of my sort of additional duties. Typically, I'm assigned to the concert and ceremonial band. And so we provide ceremonial support around the Washington, D.C. area for high-profile ceremonies at the White House, at the Pentagon. We do a lot of funerals at Arlington National Cemetery. Uh-huh. So that's just the ceremonial side of it. The concert band side of it, that's more of a public affairs arm of the U.S. Okay. Navy Band, where we go out and play around the Capital Region, play concerts, trying to tell the story of the Navy to people around the area. And we also go on tour once a year, at least the concert band does, where we go to different places, different regions of the country, and play, hopefully in places where they don't get to see a person in Navy uniform very often. And then when we go there and play, they get to experience sort of the professionalism and get to hear the story of what the Navy's doing for the country.
Okay. And typically, what do you guys do your tours at, like spring, summer when you go out and do that?
The concert band typically tours in the late winter, early spring. I think this year it's in March. Actually, we are touring to the Midwest this year. I'm not going to be assigned to that tour because we do have to continue to staff ceremonies during that time. So it kind of rotates the duty. But this year, I have gone on tour to the Midwest in the past, and I believe they're going to be playing near Milwaukee and Madison, maybe not getting up to Green Bay, unfortunately. I keep trying to get people, prod people to go and try to book the Widener Center, but it seems to be elusive, unfortunately. Maybe next time we swing through there and I can be on the band and try to get the Widener Center so we can play to my hometown crowd.
I was going to say, don't you have some pull by now to make that happen?
I wish I did. I think it involves a large amount of money. I don't think we can't usually pay for it. We have to find somebody that was willing to sponsor us to play at places like that that are expensive. You know, I think high schools are typically free, but a place like the Widener Center, they need money.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you name it. Probably every week you're doing something, huh? I mean, you guys are out and about, like you say, with the ceremonies, or if you're doing a concert somewhere. I mean, just about every week you're probably doing something.
Yes, sir. During the academic year, sort of, we have about one concert a week, typically. So there's usually three or four rehearsals leading up to that concert. Ceremonies will do anywhere from 10 to 12 ceremonies in a week. Most of the time, it's funerals at Arlington National Cemetery. We'll do anywhere from 7 to 10 of those in a week, and then there'll be a few other ceremonies sprinkled in. But it's definitely a very busy job with the performance, and then the flip side of that too, there's also all the musicians in the band also take care of all the military requirements to be a military organization. I mean, we have an admin office, we have a public affairs office, we have a human resources type office, operations office, supply office, and people apply for duties to do those things around here to kind of keep everything running smoothly.
Okay. And then how long have you been in the Navy now, Tony?
Almost coming up on 13 years.
13 years, okay. And this all happened after you did all your undergraduate work, right? And you had your master's degree, and you enlisted later, then, right?
That's correct. Yeah, a lot of people in the band have advanced degrees, usually in music. My path is pretty similar to a lot of others, where I did an undergraduate degree in music and then was working on a master's degree and came and auditioned for the band. and was offered a position. So, and I was able to finish my master's degree before going to boot camp.
And then I enlisted
in the Navy as a musician to come directly to this band. It's a little bit of a different situation with this band. They call it preferentially staffed. And that means it's also a permanent duty station. So that means that the people that come into the band are people that audition specifically for a position, and you stay for your entire career if you'd like here. There's no transferring around the fleet for this position.
Well, that's neat then. Yeah, so you're pretty much there as long as you want to be, like you say. And I imagine you want to stay with it for as long as you can, right? I mean, that's your hope.
Yeah, I mean, I basically, depending on pay grade, you can stay in to retirement, which could be anywhere after between 20 and 30 years, depending on pay grade. So.
Okay. Well, that's a typical path, like you say. I mean, you audition for the band, and then at that point, if you get selected, that's when you enlist. It's not the other way around. You don't enlist first and then try to audition later.
Typically not. I mean, I think that most of the people, there's some people here that... in fact, we actually have the lead singer in our popular music group was actually refueling helicopters on an aircraft carrier, taught himself how to sing music and read music, like on his downtime, and then auditioned for the Fleet Music Program. He was in a Navy band in New Orleans, and then auditioned for our rock group here. He's a very talented individual, but did not have any formal training. I mean, certainly, it's possible for a musician to have just an incredible amount of talent and put the work in and get here through a less traveled route. Most of the people here received most of their training at the university level and then joined up after the fact.
Okay. I imagine there's not much turnover, though, huh? I mean, if you can stay in as long as you want, for the most part, I mean, taking the turnover is actually great from year to year with auditions and such.
The retention level is very high in this group. I think a lot of people really enjoy being here. They enjoy representing the Navy on a daily basis and sort of the patriotic component to it. I mean, there's definitely a feeling of importance to the job here. I mean, when we do funerals at Arlington National Cemetery, we are the Navy's and the Department of Defense's representative to that family when they lay their loved one to rest. So I think a lot of people feel strongly that, you know, that it's a very important job to do, and that it speaks volumes to the level of respect that this country has for service, that, you know, will render honors for a shipmate who has moved on. And also, I think a lot of people here really enjoy the fact that sort of we're doing a diplomatic mission for the Navy, too, by performing around the world and, you know, showing people around the world that, you know, we might have a disagreement with their government, but we'll come in and there'll be a music group from one of our fleet bands, and they'll perform, and we'll perform a piece maybe in their language, and they'll be very impressed by that, how much respect we're giving to their country. And so it feels like a very honorable vocation.
Something you always wanted to do growing up. I mean, it's obviously music was in your blood, I think, early on, right? If I remember correctly.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was. My mother taught at the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay, and mm-hmm. my grandmother was and my grandmother and my aunt were both public school music teachers in Green Bay. And one of my other aunts played in the Army Field Band, which is a Army band that's based at Fort Meade. So I had music in my blood, and I also, you know, had some service too, because actually both of my grandfathers served during World War II, and I remember distinctly here my grandfather, who was the mayor of Green Bay, was very proud of his service as an Army medic during World War II.
So were you exposed like the U.S. Navy band or any military bands even early on? Like you say, you had some family that did it, but was that something in the back of your mind? Hey, I want to do that. You know, once you got to college or you're doing your undergrad work and such, that maybe this is what the path I want to take?
Yeah, I think it definitely was very appealing to me. And when my aunt was in the Army Field Band, I was in high school, and I remember hearing that band play and thinking, wow, that's tremendous musicians. It seems like they're having a lot of fun. So it was something I'd always, you know, thought would be a wonderful goal to achieve.
Okay. And then how big is the Navy band? How many musicians, I guess, would you say? You have a lot of different components to what you guys do there.
Yes. This band here in Washington has 174 members. It's 172. It's 174, I guess, members. Okay. And let me think about how many units it is. There's a concert band, ceremonial band, Cruisers Rock Band, Commodores Jazz Ensemble, Country Current, Country Band, and then the Sea Chanters Vocal Group.
Okay.
So there's six units, and then there's a few people that are full-time staff positions that don't perform as much. They perform as needed. For something like this, with the inauguration, we need to draw on a large number of people in the command, because we put out on the street for the parade 99 people playing in a block of 99. Okay. Then there's the drum major and also the officers that march in front.
Well, it's definitely more than 100 then, okay.
Yes, over 100.
Yeah, okay. And obviously, a big moment, I know, for you guys, what you're going to be doing next Friday. I know it's this one piece, like you mentioned, with all the things you guys do, but just how important is this to be part of that parade? And for you, I know it's kind of old hat, right? This is going to be, your fourth one? Does that sound right? Or?
This is my fourth one, yes, sir. I did the second one for George W. Bush and both for Barack Obama. It's a tremendous honor to play for this all the time. It's basically the most visible job that we do in the Navy band, period, where the entire country is watching and the world is watching. For, you know, it's an important part for the military to, you know, express their respect to the civilian leadership of the military and for the peaceful transition of power. So, yeah, it's a very important job for us. We're absolutely honored to be part of it, and we do not take the gravity of it lightly. People are very much on their game and preparing their music and preparing their uniforms to look their best, so that we represent the Navy well in front of the new commander in chief.
Okay. How long have you guys been rehearsing so far? Does it take a matter of months then to get this thing ready for what you guys performing?
Yeah, as you can imagine, with the schedule we have, it's difficult to get all 99 people together. But we've done some. Yeah. We've done quite a few rehearsals. We actually have another one this afternoon, with a large group. There'll be a couple more before the actual event. But a lot of it is working on marching, making sure that the group, the block, looks really nice, making sure everyone has the music down. So we're looking forward to a good performance on Friday next week.
You actually get to rehearse on Pennsylvania Avenue, or is that somewhere they probably don't allow that, right? Cause the security
do, actually.
Do they?
Yeah, we do it really early in the morning. They pick a day, and they close off the street early in the morning to do a run-through with just the, I think, not everybody, because some of these bands coming from all over the country, like high school bands and college bands, don't come in until the day of, or the day before. But we do get to do a little run on the street. That's coming up pretty soon.
That's okay. One of these mornings coming up. Okay. So I'm sure you're not at liberty to say which day, right? I mean, just for security,
it's kind of nebulous. I won't say what day. I'll just say that it's early in the morning they close off the streets, and we go do a run through real quick. So.
Yeah. It's all done on Pennsylvania, right? There's no other streets involved with this, or is it?
Yeah, it starts around the Capitol. I mean, they do the inauguration at the Capitol, swearing-in ceremony, and then typically the president either rides or walks, or a combination thereof, up Pennsylvania Avenue to the White House. We do not start right at the Capitol. We kind of fall in, because we're in the third element. We typically, the Navy band leads the third element of a five-element parade.
Okay.
And we fall in, you know, around 2nd Street, a couple blocks away from the Capitol.
Okay.
And the president-elect is in his booth. At that point, we'll be the president. The president will be in the booth, and we march past that reviewing station, which is just outside the White House.
So roughly, is it a couple miles when you guys are going? Or is it not even that?
I would say it's about a mile and a half total.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not super long parade.
For you guys, it takes probably, not even 20 minutes, half hour to get through that? Or?
Yeah, I think it's about half an hour, yeah.
like you say, you got to get the coordination down with the marching. Obviously, everybody in your band, I'm sure, has had the marching experience, but still, that's always a difficult part, though, isn't it? If you haven't done it in a while. And
well, yeah, you'd be
surprised.
We do a lot of marching in smaller blocks. The 99, a larger block definitely presents certain problems for getting everyone coordinated on the street to have like very even rows. But yeah, people have experience marching in an operational capacity around here, and also the people that did a lot of marching at boot camp too. But yeah, 99 piece, it's surprising how basically the smallest little change is amplified with a larger group. So we work hard to make sure that our lines look straight and everybody's on the same page in terms of how to turn corners.
Okay. And then, like you say, you get to walk past the president, and then at that point, once you get past the White House, then you guys are done at that point? That's kind of where the ending spot is in, or?
Yeah, usually we go a couple more blocks and then get on our bus. Now, that doesn't completely end there because there's also inaugural balls, and I think it kind of depends from every 4 years, depending on how many are asked for. It looks like we're going to be providing music for an inaugural ball sometime that evening. Not the whole 99-piece band, usually a smaller group of around 20 to 30. But that's another chance to create a positive impression for the Commander-in-Chief and also just reaffirm that commitment that the military has to the civilian leadership.
I don't know, hey, when you're performing in one of those parades, you're all focused on what you your music, your steps and such, so you don't really have a chance to kind of glance over, do you, to the president at that point? I don't know if you hit.
I actually don't. It's tempting to do so, but honestly, the last time I remember doing this, there's such a bright light for the cameras up in front of the reviewing station that you really cannot see anything except for the person's head in front of you, and you're just anecdotally, like I'm just bearing down on that person in front of me to make sure I stay in line because that light is so bright. They want to make it look good for the cameras.
Sure. And where do you fall in then? I mean, where those people are watching on TV, could they find you pretty easily? Are you on the outside?
Yeah, I have a fairly distinguishable spot. I'm on the back right corner, the very back right corner that you'll see. I play the tuba, which is this, when we march, we play a sousaphone. It's a very large brass instrument that goes up over the shoulder with a bell out front. It's the largest instrument out there. And the entire back row of the band will be 9 sousaphone players. I am the back right corner. So I will actually be the furthest from the reviewing stand, but I've also marched in the middle. I've also marched on the left. It just kind of depends on how they want to do it. Each year.
Well, you have an ideal spot then, no doubt. I mean,
yeah, it's a fine spot. Yeah. It'll be fine, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I'll let people know where they can watch you then, too. And then do you have any good memories from the first three? Anything stand out from those?
They're always memorable. I think the first one was very memorable for me, the second inauguration of George W. Bush, because it was the first time I'd done something that high profile. I guess, I did the first job I did in the band was Ronald Reagan's funeral, which was fairly high profile as well. But, doing an inauguration is very fulfilling as a Navy musician. And then I think the first one for President Barack Obama was great, too, because there were so many people there that it was just incredible how many people they packed onto the mall to come and witness that event. And they all have their nice things and also their difficulties too. I mean, it is a long day for the band. It can be very cold. Hopefully it's looking like the extended forecast is going to be pretty good for this one. But the first one for President Obama was very cold. So it just kind of depends. Hopefully we'll hope for nice weather and good logistics.
Are you able to dress accordingly? Obviously you need to be in your uniform, but are you able to make some accommodations if it does get really cold or
yesterday, I was actually asked this yesterday, like somebody asked me what the biggest challenge was, and I did not say cold weather initially, and they said, well, what about cold weather? And I said, well, I'm from Wisconsin. I know how to dress for it, and I know how to, handle it. So typically I'll wear, a base layer underneath if it's going to be cold. And I have enough experience in the band working outside, knowing pretty well what I need to wear. But usually I'll wear a base layer and then the uniform. Usually we'll get to wear coats. If it's very, very cold, we'll get to wear a heavy black coat with gold buttons. You know, I don't know what the extended forecast now is. It was looking promising for Thursday, so I don't know what Friday said. But if it's in the 50s, I would bet that we go without coats, and that'll be plenty comfortable with no base layers at all, actually. So.
And you're not allowed to wear stocking hats at all if it got really cold. I mean,
we don't wear a stocking hat. We have like an earmuff thing that we wear. So we have a hat that's sort of your typical military officer cap that does not really have any sort of help for keeping heat in. So what we have is we have an earmuff that goes around the back, just a black earmuff that's pretty unobtrusive that helps keep our ears warm anyway.
Okay.
And then we have different sets of gloves too.
Okay. Yeah, that's typical, right? You guys wear gloves no matter what, though. I mean, no matter the weather, you're typically with, like, white gloves or...
You know, I think white gloves are usually preferable, but one of the challenges we run into is if we wear white gloves, some of the woodwind players cannot play their instrument very well because they have to cover holes, and it really requires skin-to-hole contact to make that seal happen. So I'm not really sure. I think it's really going to be a game-time call for us.
Okay. What do you prefer? You prefer to go without gloves then if you can?
I mean, I would prefer it to be low 50s and sunny and no wind. And then that way we can choose whether or not to wear gloves. And I mean, I could go either way. I mean, if it's low 50s, I'll be super comfortable with just my plain uniform on, no coat, and no gloves. So,
how overwhelming does it get with the crowd? So you mentioned, obviously, you know, Brock's first one was really a big deal, and then you mentioned, you know, George Bush, you know, for you, especially for you, for your first time doing it. But does it get overwhelming when you see those crowds out there along the parade route and such?
I mean, it's nice to see a lot of people come out to support a large event like that, and it's nice to have a crowd like that to sort of, you know, represent the Navy and show off the professionalism of the Navy. In that regard, I try not to think about it too much, you know, because I don't want to be nervous. But in addition to the crowd, there's also a lot of military personnel forming a line along the parade route too. It's an exciting event to play for so many people. As a musician, you want to play for people, so it's nice to. There's definitely like an energy when there's a lot of people out there that you know, you can feed off of and feel good about playing for.
What are you expecting for this one? Obviously, as we know, you know, how the election went and such, and a lot of, you know, a lot of rancor and such across the country. Are you expecting, hopefully, everything will be fine now for this, you know, as Trump takes over as president now?
Yeah, I think that everything's going to be great. It's good. I think there's going to be quite a few people that are going to be interested in seeing the peaceful transition of power. And it's a historic event for our country, and it's an important historic event for our country. So I hope people come witness it and get to hear us play.
Okay. Real quick, Tony, how many pieces do you guys play as a band on that
piece of music? We play two pieces. We sort of rotate between two pieces. One is the one that we play when we march through the area where the president's going to be reviewing. We play Anchors Away, you know, the Navy's favorite song. And then we also play Columbia, the Gem of the Ocean, with a sort of a tag on at the end for America the Beautiful. Is it America the Beautiful? It's America the Beautiful. It's Columbia, the Gem of the Ocean. That's a typical one that the Navy plays for marching.
Sure. Okay. Well, again, you grew up in De Pere, right? Was it officially De Pere, or were you kind of out on the outskirts of De Pere?
I grew up in Ledgeview. I grew up in De Pere and Ledgeview. I mean, we lived in De Pere proper and also Ledgeview when I was growing up, and I graduated from De Pere High School on the east side in 1997.
Okay. And you got some other, are you the oldest of a few kids, or how do you follow?
I'm the oldest of, three boys. My other two brothers are also musicians and younger than me.
Okay. Are they doing other things across the country? Are they in bands as well?
Well, my youngest brother, Evan, plays in the Kansas City Symphony in Kansas City. He's a bass player. And then my other brother plays drums on cruise ships for Carnival Cruise Lines.
Holy cow. Jeez. And then you still have family back in De Pere then here?
Or? Oh, yeah. My parents still live in the same house that I left when I went to college in Ledgeview. And my aunt lives in Green Bay.
Okay. Is that the aunt that you referenced to that was in the band? Or?
No, my aunt that I referenced to that taught public school music lives in Green Bay still.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I have quite a few relatives still around the Green Bay area.
Yeah, okay.
And I get back as much as I can. It's just it's hard to get there, you know. I have young kids now, and it's harder to travel with the young kids.
And then, Tony, where does your one aunt teach at? Green Bay School, you mentioned?
She taught at Green Bay East for quite a while, and then did some moved to teaching some younger students, and then would kind of move around some of the West Side. Was it Green Bay East? No, it wasn't Green Bay East. It was Green Bay West. She taught at Green Bay West, and then when she changed to teaching younger students, she was moving around some of the elementary schools on the East Side.
Okay, and again, your mom taught at UW Green Bay?
Yes, she did.
Okay, she's retired now.
I think she still plays piano professionally here and there, but she doesn't have a full time playing or teaching job.
What did she teach at Green Bay?
She taught piano, and also she taught music, music history, literature, and styles.
Okay. Again, your mom's name is
First name is Linda.
L-I-N-D-A.
L-I-N-D-A. Yes.
And then your dad's name is
Tom.
Top. Okay.
Yep.
All right. And then does your family have a chance to come out there for the inaugural parade, or they don't do that?
They'll probably come out and visit at some point coming up. They're not going to come out for the inaugural parade. It's really busy around here. I mean, there's a lot of people in town. There's a lot of the hotels are already booked up. It's also January. It's not the greatest time to come visit Washington D.C.
And they can watch you on TV, right?
Yeah, they can watch me on TV. And, you know, honestly, like, if you're going to leave Wisconsin to go to Washington, D.C., you go in late March or April, because that's when the weather starts to get really nice here, and it's still, you know, a little bit cold back there. So.
Okay. And again, Tony, how old are you right now?
I am 37.
Okay. Yeah, think about that.
I had to think about it. I'm like, wait a second. How old am I? Is it 2017? Yeah, 37.
37 now. And then, like you say, you got a family of your own. How many kids do you have?
I have two kids, and I'm married and have two kids, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, great. I appreciate your time. Anything else you wanted to add? But I know we covered a lot here, so I really appreciate your help on this. And, congratulations on being part of the parade again this year. So.
Okay, yeah, thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good time next week. Thanks, Tony.
Yep, bye.
Take care.